Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
K&C Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. And right now, it's time for the C-Block starring Corey Majors. And I want to let you know, I say that because of what Corey said right before we went on the air, not because of his usual high level of content. I'm worried about what might trickle into this segment.
Sacha Baron Cohen.
No.
According to the New York Post, 3 days ago, has moved on from Isla Fisher and is now with a 27-year-old OnlyFans model.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think this is the first time that he's publicly been with somebody else, and that's the important factor there. But Isla Fisher, dude, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know.
He has millions of dollars, right?
We never know.
Know what?
What's going on?
What do you mean?
Just because somebody's pretty doesn't tell the whole story.
That's true.
Personalities are important in relationships. In one-night stands, not so much.
Oh, my goodness.
According to Underdog NBA, Kevin.
I was worried about. Oh, yeah. Hey, promo code Masterpiece today and tomorrow. Sign up. You get $100 bonus cash when you make your first $5 play.
Underdog NBA Bucks owner Wes Edens on Giannis Antetokounmpo's future with the team. Quote, I had a great conversation with Giannis in June, and he made it clear that he is committed to Milwaukee and he likes having his family here. Giannis, 1 hour later, quote, I cannot recall that meeting.
Oh, no.
Again, this is not an NBA segment, but when I saw that, that's always a weird moment.
That's not what you want.
So there you go for that.
That's not what you want.
Kevin, we keep track every Monday.
Yeah. I'm kind of reeling from that. I'm sorry, Corey. I know we need to get to hits and misses, but...
You're shook.
Yeah, man. For him to just straight up come out and be like, I do not recall that conversation. So it's not that he said, I don't recall saying it specifically like that, but he's right. No, it was, I do not recall specifically saying that. You're like, that's not good. Back to you, Corey.
By the way, to the guy from the 903... We've been at the top every time slot we've ever had. Oh. I just want to let you know that.
Oh.
Yeah. The top 10 rushing records of the weekend, Kevin. 5-3-2.
Oh, because, yeah.
Tracking the top 10 rusher records, 26-12-2. Again, very raw data here. I just want to point that out because people get upset. Top 10 passing records, 4-4-2. Bringing them to 15-23-2. So if you're throwing the ball too much,
yeah,
you just got to have all this is telling me is you have to have a good sound running game. It's not going to guarantee you wins, but I think because for balance purposes, you got to have a good sound rushing game.
No, I agree. And look, this is one of the cases where I think you could maybe twist the statistics to fit your narrative either way. But I just want to give one more opportunity to shout out both the quarterbacks in the Sunday Night Football game. They both played tremendously.
Would you like the hits or misses?
I want the misses.
The misses from this weekend. Honorable mention, my fantasy misplay of Romeo Doubs.
Nope, that's tomorrow.
I could have played Romeo Doubs last night.
Don't care.
Also, misses of the weekend. My underdog bets hit everything but Michael Penix's under passing yards.
Man, well, okay. I don't know. Does it help at all that it's not like he went higher by 3 yards. He set a career high, and you're like, what are you going
to
do?
It's one of those where I was looking at the numbers, I was like, dude, he hasn't even gotten to this number yet this season.
Yeah.
And there's a possibility that they could just turn it over to Kirk Cousins. But what he did was Michael Penix said, I'm not going to let this opportunity go to waste. And so he went out there and he took advantage of Dan Quinn's defense in a way that we haven't seen since the Packers game here in Dallas in the playoffs. Also honorable mention, Cam Ward, 108 yards and a pick. Kevin, this guy.
Hey.
What is happening here?
Look, he said, at least he said, we all got to step up, myself definitely included. But I agree. It has been a horrific start. You know, it's interesting, though. You kind of mentioned this off air. It definitely feels like Callahan is getting all the heat and not Cam Ward. Hopefully that's a matter of, like, Cam Ward's a rookie and stuff. And Brian Callahan already took away his own play calling duties and then said he thought he was doing a good job. And I'm like, why did you take them away from yourself then?
I'd also like to throw this. This doesn't really go in the hits and misses category, but this is some new information. John Mara. Recently been diagnosed with cancer, been following the treatment plan recommended by an outstanding team of doctors. I'm feeling strong and optimistic, committed to seeing this through to a positive outcome. I plan to remain active with the team throughout my treatment, and I'm fortunate to be surrounded by incredible support personally, professionally, medically. I ask that you respect my privacy and my family's privacy at this time.
Right.
This is fascinating because of the month that we're in with the NFL and crucial catch.
Yeah.
And now the defensive coordinator for the Patriots, John Mara, owner of the Giants. And I do wonder if that's, you know, kind of part of going through that. They get screened and checked and everything. And as you heard last year, our own Tad Carper, because he was going through that, found out. So
yeah, hopefully, like, something like that happens to somebody high profile and ends up saving lots and lots of lives on the other side. But that is unfortunate.
Let's go ahead and dive into the misses of the top three misses of the weekend. Geno Smith, 117 yards and three interceptions.
So Geno Smith,
dude,
now is the league leader in interceptions. You know, what's really interesting about all of this is, you know, obviously there were some changes and I think everyone was kind of like, yeah, Sam Darnold, he's a flash in the pan. He wasn't really that good. You'll see what happens. And at least early on, feels like Sam Darnold is held up when he moved on down the road, while Geno Smith he's struggled.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought this was a good move for Pete Carroll to bring Geno Smith along with him, you know, have this this combination because he understands the quarterback, but he's not leading like he was in Seattle.
Yeah.
And he's looking like he's regressed more to what he started as when he got into the league as they've gone so far. Now, he had a great game with Trey Tucker last week, but they're not finding it right now. Number two, misses of the weekend. Anybody who thought Justin Herbert and Daniel Jones should be MVP candidates. I know last week, definitely all the people who thought they shouldn't be MVP candidates were the idiots.
Go ahead and raise my hand.
But
right
here we are. Justin Herbert very, very pedestrian against the New York Giants. That was a struggle for him. And Daniel Jones, I'm not going to say it was all his fault. He did throw a couple of interceptions. But does this put a little bit of a dent in what, like that, hey, Daniel Jones is back? It's just one loss. And it's just one loss to Justin Herbert, too.
Okay,
I don't know if you saw Bobby post, too, because Sean took a shot at him on Twitter and was like, you said that Justin Herbert was going to be an MVP candidate. And he posted last year, Josh Allen, week 4, had a miserable game.
Yeah.
And he goes, I forgot that we give MVPs after week 4.
Ooh.
And I was like, dang, that was actually pretty strong right there. But
and also Daniel Jones wasn't helped out.
We'll get to that.
I wonder if that, because, like, just think about it. Like, without changing anything besides those two plays, how dramatically could that have changed the fortunes, not only of the team, but of Daniel Jones in terms of if you're like, that's 2 more touchdowns. That's a 4-0 record. He would be in probably in the hits category, I feel like.
Dude. Okay, let's go ahead and get to number one.
Sorry.
I like this. Number one hit miss of the weekend. Adonai Mitchell fumbles the ball before and through the back of the end zone and also had a terrible play on one of their punts. This is that that throw, Kevin, from Daniel Jones to Mitchell was awesome. Great throw. On top of that, the catch itself and the spin move to get away, amazing.
Agreed.
He's running down the sideline. He's got some dudes trying to knock him out of bounds. He's like, no, I got this. I believe, and I haven't heard anything different. I believe he was not trying to celebrate. He was trying to get the ball out in front so the guys that were chasing him couldn't strip the ball away from him. That is my thought, is he was trying to get it across the goal line and trying to make that a touchdown quicker by putting it out there.
Because that is not, like, I thought it was a celebratory.
And I can totally see, I juked you guys, and then he lost track of the ball, fumbles it, it goes out of the back of the end zone, and that is just awful. You hate to see that, but you're right. That very well cost the team and could cost Daniel Jones's MVP.
Look, if Daniel Jones ends the season and you can look at that for costing him the MVP, I feel like everyone involved will still be pretty pumped, because that means the Colts will be really, really good.
You think so?
Yes. I do not believe that's how that's going to play out, though.
Well, we'll see.
Sorry.
Hit of the weekend. Honorable mention. I'm going to go with Tuli Tuipulotu from the Chargers. 4 sacks.
Wow.
Of Jackson Dart, who took like 58 sacks, it looked like.
Right.
But he had 4 in the game, which is a pretty big number, I'm going to say. More than Micah, who evidently graded out as the best player on the defense, according to PFF.
Can we pause on that for just 1 second? Did you take note, and if so, did you lose any or maybe a massive amount of respect for the Pro Football Focus grades when they showed how high Dante Fowler Jr.'s grade was for the season? And then because of that, Chris Collinsworth was like, yeah, I mean, and Dante Fowler's obviously really been good for them. What Dante Fowler is that? That's not the one I've been watching. And so when I saw his grade, because, like, unfortunately, the Cowboys are like, you know, I'm 106 out of 110. I'm 64 out of 66. And then Dante Fowler's like 37 out of 110. I was like, how is that?
Also honorable mention, the not tush push for a TD. Mm. What a beautiful play that was. Here's the thing, and that's not me being an Eagles fan. The play itself is unstoppable. So far, nobody's been able to stop it. That's why I say that. Now, you're making a play off of the play. You have to commit everything you can to stopping Jalen Hurts from getting over the line.
Right.
And now you also have to think about the fact that they might just hand the ball or direct snap or do something else that gives Saquon Barkley the easiest touchdown he's had in decades.
Yeah.
Like, that was... it was brilliant play call, and I don't know when they decided that this was going to be an option off of it. I don't know if it was this year, how long they've been planning this, but man, that was a really smart use of, it's the same alignment. Everybody has to think that it's going to be this play, and there's no way that it's going to be that play. It's going to be easy for us. So that was another honorable mention. Number 3 on the hits of the weekend, rookie running backs. Omarion Hampton, 128 yards and a touchdown. Ashton Jeanty, 138 yards and a touchdown. Both of those the leading rushers for the weekend so far. That's big stuff from those two guys. Finally, Jeanty opens up one, and everybody's really happy about it.
Yeah.
They were both in losses, though, so that's a little weird.
Yeah, it is complicated because Hampton you're feeling good about, but you did lose a game that I think a lot of people thought was the most surprising result of the weekend. And then at least for the Raiders, man, Jeanty had gotten off to a really slow start, so good for him.
Yeah, no, he had one of those runs too that was like, oh, that's Ashton Jeanty right there.
Yeah,
I saw Bill Simmons had posted something that somebody else had posted, and it was him standing like Michael Myers versus him not standing like Michael Myers in the backfield.
Oh,
and how his yards are just so much better when he does stand like Michael Myers. So we'll have to look into that a little bit more.
Interesting.
Number 2 is Patrick Mahomes back. Hits of the weekend: 4 touchdowns on 270 yards. Dude, he looked right. He looked right again.
Now,
it could be the Ravens, because the Ravens have given up the most points in the league.
Do you think having Xavier Worthy back? By the way,
Hollywood Brown healthy.
They've given up the most points in the league by 1.
Yep.
Ahead of the Cowboys.
Still the most.
Have the Cowboys given up 108 points in their last 3 games?
Yeah, but 132 overall.
and 130. No, you're right. I just, like, I don't want to make it sound like there's this big gap between the Ravens and everybody
else. There's a big gap between the Cowboys, Ravens, and everybody else.
Now that I believe.
But Mahomes looks good. And Kevin, I know you're saying, you know, having health back on those parts. And then Rashi Rice is going to be back at some point. Like, that's going to be another difference maker for that team. And as we said earlier, this is when Patrick Mahomes is at his best. Not when he has to be forcing the ball to somebody that's not open, but when he goes to random options all over the field and he has lots of different plays dialed up for these guys.
Especially since that defense is still good.
And last but not least, the number one hit of the weekend, Matthew Stafford and Tutu Atwell. Stafford, great day, 375 yards for 3 touchdowns, but man, that 88-yard pass to win the game was absolutely breathtaking. It was a heart stopper, and it was wonderful, and congratulations to those two. They win the award. They'll be getting their check in the mail, I guess.
Oh, nice.
It's an empty check. It has $0 in it.
Oh, you could just really post-date it. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, who was the best at being the worst this weekend, and why was it still the Cowboys defense? We'll discuss in Wanker of the Weekend next right here on The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Second down and 6. They're inside the 10, trying to regain the lead. Prescott under center, back looking, over the middle into the end zone. Hang on, Ferguson. First touchdown since the Truman administration.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan, where we're always throwing out some appreciation for that call, as well as TJ Bass appreciation. I thought he did a very, very admirable job yesterday. But Corey has his hand over his face before we get to Wanker of the Weekend, and so I worry that this is bad.
It's not that bad.
Oh, great.
Today is Mavs Media Day. Also,
Derek Lively apparently grew 2 inches.
And Daniel Gafford says breakout season, SZN on the way. But Dennis Smith Jr. was on Locked On Mavs.
Mm.
Have you seen what he said?
No.
Nick Angstedt said he's going to put this on a shirt. All these changes, but I still got my dog, Dwight Powell. Dwight Powell's gotten more love in the last 3 weeks than in the history of the NBA.
29th best Maverick of all time.
Just thought I'd bring that to your world.
Yeah, good job. All right, now, time for Wanker of the Weekend. I don't know if you think that counts or not, or if you think it's the Cowboys defense, who, never forget, they gave up 5 passing plays of 15-plus yards in the first quarter alone yesterday. And then on Jordan Love's first 14 dropbacks, they got 1 pressure. So, now, I do feel like that second element started to change throughout the game. It still wasn't great, but it started to change, so there's that.
Okay, did you feel... You're right. It did feel like it started to change. I don't know what exactly was the difference. It was just what Eberflus was dialing up, or the defensive front said, hey, I'm just not having any of this crap anymore. But what was... Did you feel like he was made uncomfortable in the pocket later in the game?
Yes.
And then later in the game, again, he got back to being comfortable. Like, it did feel like late in the game, he was more comfortable again.
Because I think part of the reason that happened as the game went along, too, is the Cowboys' run defense let them down. And so now it felt like you had viable options either way. Because I felt like maybe the Cowboys were like, all right, we can amp up our pressure just a little bit because we're doing just fine stopping the run, or they're not running the ball a lot, but that felt like it started to fall apart. And then obviously the pass coverage leaves something to be desired throughout that entire game. Now, I'm going to go and play cut six. I know on the surface this is a cool play, and it is also the most efficient field storming in maybe the history of college football. The reason why I'm going to put this on there is, are the Virginia fans wankers of the weekend for what I can only assume was them trampling two kids to death? Because if you have not seen this video,
yeah, dude,
it is terrifying for the DB and the wide receiver.
Here comes the blitz. Castellanos in trouble. Heaves one towards the end zone.
So by the time he says Virginia has done it, it looks like they have kids like out at the 15-yard line. Like they run out there, but the Florida State receiver and the DB are just, they disappear
under
those people. And like when you're in a mob like that, I never ended up seeing if they had any injuries or anything. I thought those kids might be in serious, serious danger because that was scary, man.
How were those people allowed to be on the field like that for that play?
Yeah.
That doesn't make any sense to me because you should have a buffer. There should be some buffer there.
I gotcha.
And quite honestly, the kids should provide that buffer too.
Right.
Like they should understand. I understand everybody wants to rush the field. I get it. I understand also there's some fines that are involved in it. But you gotta give some people an opportunity because, Kevin, that was scary.
I'm not kidding.
And they were laying on the ground. The pass put them on the ground. It's not like they were standing up and just, all right, y'all run around me.
Yeah.
They were laying on the ground when I saw that. So that's scary, man.
Yeah, no, I'm with you on that. Now, one more college note, although we will hit the Tuesday tailgate with Carter Freeman tomorrow. This is James Franklin, the wanker of the weekend. He is now 4-21. At Penn State against top 10 teams.
Squirrel White was reportedly unharmed.
Oh, great.
So he was caught up in the mix, but reportedly unharmed. 19 people were treated due to undisclosed health policy things. But yeah, 19 people got injured, but not him.
That feels like a minor miracle.
And all of his players made it to the locker room.
That is amazing.
Yeah.
Well,
there you go.
Good. So James Franklin is now 4-21 at Penn State against top 10 teams and 1-18 against top 10 teams in the Big Ten. His 160 winning percentage is tied for the third worst by a coach at a single school since the poll era began in 1936. Now, I know there's some people listening out there that their poll era probably started before then, but I think in this case, it means like the voting polls and whatnot. So there's that. All right. Now,
is he a good coach? He like his records.
I used to think so.
I agree. We both were kind of before he got to Penn State. Yeah. We were like, this dude is actually pretty good at what he does.
I thought it was a great hire.
I haven't quite understood where he is on this thing. It seems like Penn State's going
to
be good.
It's tough to argue because like on the one hand, I mean, his team is consistently up there. Maybe he's just a really good recruiter or his staff is filled with good recruiters. Because when it comes to all of the games that define you as a coach in a program, he fails time and time and time again. Now, speaking of failures, are American golfers the wanker of the weekend? Because they fell behind early, and after the third session, they were down by 5 shots. That was tied for the biggest road advantage in Ryder Cup history after the third session. Now, America, they made a go at it in the singles matches, but they still lost 15-13. So is it American golfers or is it American fans that are wanker of the weekend? Because I know there was a lot of thought about how rowdy those fans were.
I mean, is that a bad thing? Do we not want rowdy fans?
So
we need a home
I agree,
course advantage.
But there were a couple of European players who were like, look, man, I knew it was going to be rowdy and stuff, but some of the stuff they said in terms of like spouses and other things, that was out of bounds. I'll never quite understand.
That's where we are right now.
Yeah, I'll never quite understand like oh, hey, your wife's in the stands, so I'm going to heckle her. Why?
Mm-hmm.
What does she do? She's not golfing. You're not going to get in. I mean, you're going to get into her head, but it's not going to make any difference on what happens out on the course.
You know what's going to make difference in, though, when she gets home that night? And maybe it's like Saturday night, Friday night. You get back to the house or whatever, and now she's like, oh my gosh, did you hear what they said about me? And now you're sitting there going, I'm trying to focus.
Yeah.
I'm trying to focus on, don't even go out there tomorrow. All matter of fact.
So that was.
And now you're getting divorced.
That was this. Wow.
Because you're rude.
That was the strategy from the 817. Rory McIlroy is the wanker of the weekend for being a whiny bee the whole tournament. Now, these are two options, Corey, but I have a third, and you can only pick one, like the Highlander. Is it the American golfers, the American golf fans, or is it the envelope rule?
Envelope rule.
This has got to be one of the stupidest rules in all of sports.
What is the envelope rule?
So the envelope rule, because Europe had a player who he said, I think it was neck issues, and he wasn't going to be able to play. Okay, you lose, forfeit, 1 point America. Except that's not what they do. They have the envelope rule, where in this case, the United States captain is going to put one name of his player in an envelope, and then that person's not going to play, just as like the injured person is not going to play, and you split the match. All right, this is stupid for a couple of different reasons. First of all, you're clearly going to hurt that player's feelings.
Yeah,
because you're like, you're the worst. I didn't think you could score us a point. I don't even know why you're on this team. Secondly, in what other venue of sports is someone hurt and you're like, all right, it's a tie? Like, that doesn't happen.
Dude, how cool would it be if in the NBA you had to put a frozen envelope? I mean, just a regular envelope.
Yeah, I think it was a regular one.
All right, or a frozen one. It's up to you. You had to put a frozen envelope out there and it had your free throw shooting replacement. And it's got to be your worst free throw shooter. And so let's say your starter gets injured and you're down your last shot. This is it. Free throws to win the game or lose the game. We got to go to the envelope. That would be awesome, dude. That would be so cool.
Yeah.
Tell me it wouldn't. Oh my gosh, they're going to the envelope. And then like, I know the NBA, like last 5 minutes takes 2 hours. I get it.
Right.
But now I'm totally in for those 5 minutes that it's going to take to go get the frozen envelope out of the freezer. Bring it down to the court and then open it up and read it in front of everybody. Then we get those shots.
Okay. I mean, look, I am intrigued by this idea. From the 903, we probably haven't talked about this enough. Is Chris Collinsworth the wanker of the weekend for making it sound like Jack Sanborn was peak Sean Lee out there? Because he's like, oh man, look at him fly around the field. And you're like, really? Are we seeing the same? Look,
we've been watching a lot of Jack Sanborn, and we're probably starting to get down on him a little bit.
I appreciate the fact that even though his back was turned, or if he could have got it to ricochet off his foot, we would have won the game. But at least he was standing in front of a wide receiver when he got pegged in the back to help us eventually tie the game. But I don't feel like that's a good representation. Chris Collinsworth shouted out Dante Fowler and Jack Sanborn for being awesome on this defense this year. What?
Did Trayvon Diggs get juked out at the goal line, or why did he turn around? Why did he turn in a circle on that touchdown from Josh Jacobs? He was going left, and then he continued to go left and got out of the way of Josh Jacobs. It did look like he was trying to go for the cut to go outside.
Because I'm not going to say
he got spun around.
I think that's fair, because I'm not going to say business decision Trayvon Diggs yesterday, because he had a couple of tackles that I was like, good job.
Yeah, that screenplay that he stopped in the backfield, that was a really smart play. He read Jordan Love's eyes and got back there real fast. He just got shook on this one. I'm going to say he got shook and not business decision.
Okay.
Jack Sanborn, though, Kevin, here my belief, because I was probably at the forefront of the Jack Sanborn fan club. Mm. Remember, I brought his name up a long time ago.
Yeah.
And I was like, a friend of mine says that he's going to be a Cowboy. And then he was a Cowboy. And I was like, all right, here we go. I always believed he would be a special teams backup kind of guy. Yet somehow they don't have a player better than him.
Right.
And Flus likes this guy because he understands his scheme. But it just doesn't look like he's always two or three steps behind.
Yes.
And that's where my frustration is right now.
Yeah, it does. And then I wanted to throw out at least one more. Cheryl Reeve, the Minnesota Lynx coach, she was suspended a game, and then that ended up being the end of the season because her team lost that ensuing game. And she went off on the WNBA officials, and she was like, look, she called first their officiating malpractice, but then said, if this is what the league wants, okay, but I want to call for a change of leadership at the league level when it comes to officiating. The officiating crew we had tonight, for the leadership to deem those three people semi-final playoff worthy, it's effing malpractice.
Wow.
She only got suspended one game, or you could say she got suspended for the rest of the season because they lost.
Kevin, another wanker of the weekend, neck injuries.
Is there a new one?
Nnamdi Madubuike is out for the season.
I told you last week that when I heard somebody was like, oh, he's not going to play this weekend. And I was like, that is a longer term issue that the Ravens were concerned about. Remember, we talked about it at a time when the Ravens defense has all kinds of concerns. He's going to be out for the rest of the year. That sucks.
Yep.
For the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, let's chit-chat with those fellas from the G-Bag Nation right here on 105.3 The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly you know what why people it's not, outside of Cleveland you know, think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Here's Aubrey, field goal, good, Cowboys 40, Packers 37, 4:40 left.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan right now, courtesy of D&M Leasing. It is time for our chit chat with the fellas from the G-Bag Nation. Gentlemen, how is you today?
Amazing. Hey, how are you?
I'm doing great. We got a couple of things for y'all. First of all, Broadus, I don't know if as the show goes along, you'll be able to give us any insight, but a firm partially set up in Saudi Arabia is buying EA Sports. So I know you're usually our go-to there. And then Wolchuk, we heard you on Sunday Night Football. Did you get lots of people hitting you up for that?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I was in the press box not watching it, so I had no idea that that happened. And then Corey texted me, and then after Corey texts, I got a flood from a bunch of other Tolos and family members who were like, dude, you just made the Sunday Night Football intro.
That was cool.
Like, holy hell,
Mike
that's pretty badass.
Mike is the
badass.
Enemy now.
He sure is.
That's such a great line, too.
He didn't say he was highly overrated. They didn't play that one?
They didn't play that one. They were like,
I was kind of hopeful that when people were saying that, I was kind of hoping it was like, he's really overrated. Ha ha ha.
Looked like it last night.
Yeah. Woo! All right.
Highest graded player, Pro Football Focus.
Yeah, Pro Football Focus. Also,
those are the grades we love.
Seven pressures. Dante Fowler has been badass in these first three games, so I would like to know more about that process.
Yeah, Fowler's been god awful.
Now, you say overrated, like at least in the game last night, which for a lot of time was kind of true, but also, did he not make the game saving play?
Yeah.
He sure did.
He did. Now, I did love Dak's response, like the sack there, you know?
He goes, nope.
They just did. They gave that to you. That's for the narrative. But yes, Dak scores if he doesn't make that tackle.
It was also good for my underdog.
100%.
You needed that.
Yeah, just as an aside.
Yeah. I did it on Prize Picks as well. It was like 0.75.
Yes.
Like he's going to get more. I thought he'd get maybe two sacks. I was underwhelmed. I thought he was going to have a much better game.
What was the chances he was going to get two touchdowns? What was the bet on that? If Dak would have run in for two touchdowns.
Oh my gosh.
Because he had the quarterback draw for one.
Yeah.
So but you think he would have scored on that play?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do too. And then you said, would y'all have gone for it on fourth down then?
Hell yes.
Yes. Yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that was kind of frustrating.
Metricville says that's a 78% go.
And with the Cowboys defense, it's 100% go.
Yes. And the person who seems the saddest about it this morning is Bobby.
Yeah, I'm right there with him. I get it. Yeah. I totally get it. You cannot trust your defense in a situation like that. And your offense had been absolutely cooking.
Yes.
I mean, they punted with like 12 minutes to go in the third quarter, and then it was just score. I would have been surprised the number said 78% go. I think four yards is pretty long. So coach, I would have taken the medicine and said, we're going for it, apparently, if that's what the number said.
Actually, Dawson, I lied to you. It's 76%. So it's fourth and four, the Green Bay four. The metrics people say go 76% and field goal 62%.
Do the cavalcade of questionable play calls leading into that fourth down give
Hell
me any
yes.
pause?
Yeah, just run the ball four straight times. See what you do. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's what I would have. He called a really good game, though.
Yeah.
Oh, he did.
Yeah.
Once he figured out that the pass rush wasn't going to kill him, he started doing some. Usually, if you're worried about pass rush and rushers and edge rushers, you're not running like reverses and stuff like that.
You would chalk up those first two drives probably then to the fear of the pass rush?
Yeah.
It felt like they were like, hey, just don't let him get a sack on the first play.
Yeah.
All right,
yeah.
Hand the ball.
Yeah. And we need to run at Micah.
Yeah.
That was probably a big part of it.
Because he's overrated. I gotcha.
They chipped him and
your words.
Did a lot of things. They did everything that we talked about they needed to do to Micah, they tried.
So where is your takeaway headspace-wise? Is it you have the game there to take and win? Or I've been more positive this morning because after the first three Packers drives and they crushed you on two of them, I was like, you're going to lose this game by 30 points.
Agreed.
Yeah, I thought it was amazing. You figured out a way to score 40 points against a damn good defense.
Yeah.
You know, I think, yes, we made very little strides defensively, but what Dak showed yesterday, I mean, with a depleted offensive line with no CeeDee Lamb, the fact that he could navigate that, the timing of the offense was brilliant. The ball was coming out. Obviously, he trusts Kevontae Turpin. Jake Ferguson, is a good factor as well. And then to make what they did with George Pickens, like, this was great progress. I think this was a feather in the cap, not only for Shoddy, but Clayton Adams and Connor Riley as well, to bring in that many different offensive linemen and not really have a big downside to that. So there was a lot of positives to take from that. You know, if you get cleaned out like it looked like we were on the way to on 13-2, I would think you're in trouble against the Jets and Panthers.
I could see that.
You know,
still might lose those games.
You sure could.
The Panthers are very confusing from week to week.
Yeah, no, you're in a situation right now where you could play very well against some really good teams and just poop in the bed, you know, with these other teams. So, yeah. There's no guarantee with this team right now. You guarantee that maybe you'll score points.
Yeah.
But, you know, you can't trust these guys to get a stop. Second half, I mean, they played much better run better overall defense, I thought, in the first half than they did in the second half.
Their run defense took a precipitous drop.
I think they got
wore
down.
Yeah, I mean, the snaps, they had, I think it was 66 snaps before the last Packers drive in overtime.
They
probably got totally worn down.
I was so impressed with Josh Jacobs. My gosh.
Yeah, he had some pretty nice moves.
Really impressive. Out of the backfield, catching, and then downfield, open field, like, good luck, Trayvon Diggs. I mean, there's just only so many times you can run full speed and dive at a guy and miss and hit the ground before your body gives out.
Yeah, it was like, 14 missed tackles?
14, yeah. 14.
Oh, I saw even a higher number.
It felt like more.
The angles, I mean, look, Kenneth Murray runs himself out of place.
He does.
It's unbelievable watching these linebackers help.
Well, and then there was a play where they didn't know what to do, even when the ball was snapped, and that ended up with a two receiver on one DB advantage that clearly you don't see too often that led to an easy completion.
Yeah, to start that game, it was a ridiculous amount of chunk plays. Like, that first quarter was a total disaster.
Five passing plays of 15-plus yards in the first quarter
alone.
That's what it was.
Yeah.
Now, question, maybe a longer conversation for another day. After the first 2 weeks, Packers were going to win the Super Bowl. After the last 2 weeks, maybe looks like those picks won't be so bad. What are you to make of the Green Bay Packers, who did not win against Cleveland or Dallas.
Keep playing with that offensive line, and we got a chance to have a good pick.
Yes.
That offense is the 20th pick right now.
Yeah, you've got to figure out, I mean, if teams continue have to play again, there's going to be other fronts that are better defensively. And the key to playing that quarterback is pressure. The pressure bothers him more than any other guy you play.
Yes.
So that's
you saw that last week too.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Get after him, and he'll make some poor throws.
But that Green Bay, I think Green Bay has to get healthy. Right now, they look like probably divisional round and out.
Okay.
Best case scenario for them. But they have some really key guys, and their top wide receiver is out as well. And plus, Christian Watson's probably coming back in a month or so.
Still that? Are we still high belief with him?
I think he's good. He's going to help him.
Yeah, he's not.
He's a good player, yeah. It's just, gosh, he can't stay healthy.
Yeah.
It's a really big problem. But him and Jordan Love, the deep route, they connect on it.
Tucker Kraft, I thought, was amazing last night, too.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a dog.
And I thought maybe you'd be okay because he had like one really standout game in the first three, and otherwise he was just solid, but he was making some plays.
Yeah.
Our secondary is just the worst.
It's not good.
Yeah, dude. And you mentioned the linebackers as well. Like how many just passes to the running backs?
Just throw
like
the flat. You're going to gain 8 yards.
Let him go
hey,
run.
It's third and 15. Don't worry. We'll check it down. We'll pick up 17.
I thought that on the fourth and six. I was like, all right, this play call is to our advantage. But I felt like really low confidence level that we would shut it down. And then Golden was wide freaking open.
Oh, yeah. So the late fourth down play. Yeah. Yeah. He was wide open. No pressure.
What made you think that they could stop him on four downs?
No, I'm saying theoretically.
Because they hadn't stopped him in three downs.
Absolutely. So, yeah. I'm just saying theoretically, if you get a team in fourth and six, it should be your advantage. Right. But watching it, I was like, we're probably not going to stop this.
Brian's point, if it wasn't for the clock, they had gone in and scored a touchdown, right?
I think that is accurate.
Yeah.
By the way, shout out to them for almost blowing it along the way. That was
yeah.
That
what were they doing?
Terrible clock management.
I don't know.
Terrible decision by or management by the home clock operator.
Yeah,
you got to let that thing hit zero.
I'm telling you, man. I said in the post game last night, if you know that's going to be the last play of the game, you just turn it on and then stand up and walk out the door.
Thank you.
What was Ron Tolbert? I have never seen an official adjust the clock more in a game than this guy.
Yeah.
Please put 7:02. He probably gave you an extra 5 minutes of the game last night just doing things that officials don't normally do.
Even Steven agreed with that. He goes, yeah, make him review it.
Yeah.
I was like, that's where I'm at.
Oh, no, absolutely. That's what I'm saying. If you're the home clock operator and it's the last play, you turn it on, get up, grab your hat, and walk out.
There you go.
And then don't
turn it on, leave it on is what I like to say.
That's right.
There you go.
What do you guys got coming up today on the program?
Pure Gold, as always, Hagee, thanks for asking. It is it's Flacktober week. I don't know if you heard, but we'll be at Tolbert Garage Door getting this thing kickstarted on Saturday. So looking forward to seeing all the Tolos out there.
Would you consider calling it Flacktober for that day, then?
Absolutely, it's Flacktober. Let's put it on the board. Joseph Hoyt, Morning News, is going to join us at 3 to talk about this Cowboys game and Shoddy Presser 4:15 today.
All right. Roll home with the G Bag Nation. We have been the KNC Masterpiece. Make your way back with us tomorrow, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on 105.3 The Fan.
Say it's a tie, Kevin.
I guess.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.